Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I greet you all in Jesus' name. We give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So, a Thursday night, we get to come together. I apologize. Brethren and saints listening, I was have been out of town. I was out of town 1 week, and then another week. I just didn't have anything on my heart for the Thursday night, so I didn't push it. But so it's been a couple weeks. But here we are again, and we thank God. I do want to give God praise for getting me to my business trip to Orlando back safely. So we glorify Him for that, and God's been good. He's continued to be with us and touch bodies that need healing. We've had some sickness and et cetera through the fellowship, but God's been faithful and He's been good, and I just want to give Him praise right now. It's a tough time for a lot of saints. It's trials. There's been deaths in families, and there's been sickness on bodies, some major sickness, and so on and so forth, job challenges, et cetera. So definitely a time of trials for the brethren, but that's all right. God said it was going to be that way. We are going to have fiery trials in this life. And the Bible tells us not to think it's strange. So what's on my heart tonight is to encourage us with this message on God's timing. And maybe this has come up recently. It seems like it has. I don't remember. I don't know if I've ministered or another brother. I don't really don't remember. But it's a timely message for us tonight. And it's about God's time. And it has to do with waiting on God in faith, and et cetera. So we're going to look at that. We'll open up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and turn to this message. God's time is the best time. So let's go into prayer together, and then we'll get into this message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I praise your mighty name. Lord God, I just pray. We give your name glory and praise right now, Lord. We know that there's no God beside you. You are Jehovah. You are an almighty God. Your throne is forever established. You rule in power and grace and might, and all majesty is yours, and we want to give your name glory. We declare it with our lips and our mouths in this world today. We glorify your name. You're the King of heaven, and you're an almighty God, and I praise your name. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to forgive us of our sins, O Lord God. Any blood spot on our garment, any blemish, wrinkle, stain, anything we've done that's sin. We know you forgive sin, Lord God. Father, I thank you for that. You do forgive sin, and I praise your mighty name. Forgive us now of our sins, O Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us for everything we've thought, said, or done that has been contrary to your word, whether by unknowingly or even knowingly, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray you'd forgive us. Forgive us for things we should have done and didn't do. Maybe we were lazy. Maybe we were had our attentions elsewhere. But Father, I pray you'd forgive us for those things as well. Keep us from presumptuous sins, O Lord God. Cleanse us from secret faults in Jesus' mighty name. I pray every single blemish on our garment be washed in the blood of Jesus. Dip us in the blood, shield us in the blood in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd strengthen us to be faithful, strengthen us to wait on you. Strengthen our faith, O Lord God. I pray, Lord, we would wait on you with patience and it'd be a good report in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will wait in patience while we see your hand move in our lives. And I know that your hand will move in our lives. You have moved in our lives and will continue to do so if we're faithful. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now you'd help us with our faith. Help us with our patience. Help us to keep trusting you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless this message. Take it to those that need to hear it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and get to this message, brethren, on God's timing is the best time. And we're going to open up in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 20. It says, "For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." I'll read that again. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. That means yes, and it will be done. That's not. It doesn't say some of the promises, a few of the promises, most of the promises. It says all. And God's promised us healings. He's promised to take care of us. He's promised to meet our needs. He's promised a lot of things. And they're all yes. They are all amen in Jesus Christ. And so don't ever let Satan, first of all, convince you otherwise. God's promises are yea and amen. You may not get that promise when you want it, but he never promised you would. There's no scripture that says everything you want you get right now. It says we can ask in faith and expect to receive, but that doesn't mean right now. Doesn't mean this second. And I think sometimes saints forget about that. Or we'll see a healing, how there was some man of God somewhere on a stage and healings were happening right away. Well, that's just how God did that one. Doesn't mean they're all that way. Or, these different blessings that happen to saints, speaking in tongues, whatever, it doesn't always just happen right now. The fact is it will happen. It's God's promises are yes and amen, but that doesn't mean right now. All we have to do is pray in faith, ask. You can expect right now. There's nothing wrong with expecting to get it right now. But that part may or may not happen. God knows best, and that's the bottom line. God knows things we don't know. He knows things about us we don't know. He knows things we've done in the past we may not even notice, and how it affects the future. Let's go to Isaiah 46. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. As we're getting into this message, Isaiah chapter 46, and let's go ahead and go to verse 10. And so what I was saying is, you turn to Isaiah 46, verse 10, you should pray with the expectation you're going to get it right now. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't mean you're going to get it right now. You'll get it when God has decided it's the right time. And so Isaiah 46 and verse 10, it says, "Declaring the end from the beginning." That's what God does. God has seen the end from the beginning. So you haven't seen the end from the beginning. I haven't seen the end from the beginning. Now, some saints have been given visions and have seen the end. That's fine. But by way of normal operation, we don't see the end from the beginning. Not like God does. God knows things we don't know. He knows what kind of man I'm going to be in 3 years or in 5 years. And so the things I'm asking for today, if that were to hurt me in 3 years, I may not get that today. I may not understand that, but God does. And all I can do is trust God, like a child. When you tell, any of you have kids, especially the younger kids, when you tell them something, they just take it at face value. Literally, you could tell them that the clouds are made of cotton candy, a young child, they will believe you. They will take it at face value. One day they'll figure out you were wrong. That's beside the point. But the point is, we have to have that type of faith. That's a simplistic faith with God. If we don't get it right now, then there's no sense getting mad about it. We have to understand that God knows how we're going to be or who we're going to be or what we're going to be doing 1 year from today, 6 years from today, tomorrow, next week. And so that he takes all those things in consideration when we're asking for something specific right now. And so we got to keep those things in mind. So in Isaiah 46:10, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." That's the testimony of the God we serve. That is the testimony of the God we serve. And don't forget that. So God has an appointed time for everything. Your job and my job is to just wait with expectation and wait with patience. What does waiting with expectation mean? That means you are expecting to get that which you asked for. Much like if you were a six-year-old child, let's go back to the child example, and I said, "I'll bring you a gift at the end of this week," That child, because they believe you, they know they don't have it right now, but they are expecting to get that gift. Or maybe I'm not even specific. A child says, I'd like a present, Daddy, and I say, I'll get you one. They may have an expectation of receiving that every day. And when that day comes and goes, then they get up the next day, and what must be today? And when that day comes and goes, what must be today? They believe you. They have an expectation. You may have not told them when they're getting it. You may have meant 2 weeks from today, and you didn't say that. You just said, I'll get you that present sometime soon. Well, they expect every day until they get it. That's how we're supposed to be with God. When you wait on the Lord, it has to be with patience and expectation. Not, well, he said he'd do it. I guess let's find out. That's not waiting with patience. And that's not waiting with expectation or getting mad because it didn't happen today. That's not waiting with patience. God has seen the end from the beginning, and he knows things we don't know, and we have to remember that. It's not our job to do anything but wait on him. His way is not our way. He knows things that we don't, and there's no sense getting mad about that. Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Sometimes it's easy to fall into what some of these people did here in Matthew chapter 20. So let's go to Matthew 20 and verse 1. God knows things that we don't know, and we just have to trust him in that. Matthew 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing out on the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way as well. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Then say they unto him, because no man hired us. He says unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So he's hiring people to do this job throughout the day. So at this point, some people have been there working like 10 hours. Some people have been working 4 hours. These people have been working about an hour, right? And so, verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they suppose they should have received more. And, you know, why not? That's a normal thought, right? I've been here working 10 hours. They've been here an hour. They get a penny. I'm here 10 hours. Maybe I get 10 pennies. But when the first came, verse 10, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. Maybe that's where you are today. You are murmuring against the good man of the house, because you haven't gotten something like you thought it was going to be. Let's read. Verse 12, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou made them our equals, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. In other words, this isn't fair. That's what they're saying. This isn't fair. Verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto thee last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So then the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. And there's other applications of this passage, but the point I'm drawing out of it right now is, it's not up to us to decide what's fair and not fair. This, in the natural, you might say these guys have a good case. In a court of law, maybe, but it wouldn't, because they agreed to work for a penny. They got what they agreed for. If you're going through trials, you're getting what you agreed to pay for, to receive. Because we are told time and again, you got to count the cost to be a follower of God. Does the Bible not say that he that walks in faith will suffer persecution? Of course it does. Does it not say that if you're a man of faith, you're going to have trials, that you're going to have persecutions, that you're going to have temptations, that you're going to have hardships? It says that. And that's just how it is. And you know what? Some Christians, and this is how it is going to be in life. Some people were born again at age 15 and lived 50 years as a Christian, suffering for 50 years and died in the faith. And someone may have died on their deathbed and have just become a Christian for 1 minute. They're both getting eternal life.
The one that was a Christian for 50 years doesn't get more. The agreement was, if you die in me, you get eternal life. Whether you live 50 years as a Christian and get it or one day as a Christian is not your business. It's you're going to get what you expected. You're going to get what you agreed to. Part of what we agree to is trials. We don't want to be like these that worked all day and said, why am I only getting a penny? That guy worked an hour and is getting the same wage. I've been out here for 12 hours, heat of the day, blah, 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 and I should get more. No, you shouldn't. You agree to work for a penny. That's how it is going to be for Christians. Some have been saved years and suffered much, and some suffered a little. But they all get both the same thing, eternal life. That's the agreement. And there's just no sense getting in arms about it. We're going to get what we deserve, and what I mean by that is we're going to get, if you do right, you're going to get a reward. If you do wrong, you're going to get punished. That's what you deserve. You deserve based on your action. So our job isn't to look at a situation and say, this isn't fair. If you find yourself saying this isn't fair, you're not in a good spot. You've got a wrong spirit. I've been there myself. I won't go into the details on what it was about, but there was a time where I felt that other saints weren't going through what I was going through, and it wasn't fair. And I look back on it now, and I think that's folly. So we don't want to be looking around saying, yeah, what's going on, God? This isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. If you are born again, you signed up for it. So you better start learning to deal with it and accept it and find the glory in it. And I know it's easy for me to sit here and say that sitting behind this microphone without an ailment in my body. I have a job. I have a shelter. My needs are being met. I realize that. But I've also suffered. Sometimes because of my own doing, but sometimes not. And it's been pretty severe. And I go to blaming God pretty quick, or I have in the past. That's why I'm giving this message. I know what it's like, and it's easy to do. But let's go on. I want to deal with this idea of time. You know, I've been talking about waiting, so we're going to go to Genesis. I can't stress this point enough in this message. God has declared the end from the beginning. God has seen the end from the beginning, so God knows best. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. God has an appointed time for things. It may not be in the time you want, but that's not relevant. Genesis 12, 1. Abraham continues to come up. It's just how it is right now. So now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75-year-old man had a barren wife. And God said, basically, I'm going to bless you. You're going to become a blessing. Your name will be great. So on and so forth. God gives him a promise. And so we're not going to sit and read all the account of Abraham, but he didn't get that day. He didn't get that promise the next week. He didn't get that promise the next month, the next year, etc. It took years. But I want to point out in Genesis 18, Genesis 18 and verse 14. This is in regards to the son they were promised that they waited roughly 25 years for. A barren woman, an old woman, and an old man. A barren old woman and an old man waited 25 years. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is after they told him, God confirmed you're going to have a son. Sarah laughed. At the time appointed, I want you to underline that phrase. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God from the very moment back in Genesis 12, had a plan for Abraham, who became Abraham. And God knew the exact day and the exact second this child would be born. Abraham didn't know. And along the way, they were tried. I'm not getting any younger, God. I mean, every time Abraham looked at a calendar, it was a reminder to him that he didn't have a son. There was no child during this 25-year waiting period. Every time he got up in the morning and looked at Sarah, his wife, and saw how old she was, that she was getting older and more wrinkles and more gray hair, and maybe she walked a little slower, he was reminded, she's going to have a child. How can this be? But he believed God. And at the time appointed, if you're out there listening to me right now and you're waiting on a job and you've prayed, God has one for you at an appointed time. If you're out there listening to me right now and you want a, you've asked for a spouse, and if that's God's will and you're comfortable and you believe you have, you need this, then God's got a perfect time, a perfect person, and a perfect time. If you've asked for a healing, God's got an appointed time. God knows the exact day, hour, second when that will happen. You don't, but he does. And it doesn't mean it's today. It may be on down the road, maybe 25 years from today. And if that's the case, you're just going to have to accept it and deal with it and move on in the faith. Look at Genesis 21, verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It was in a set time. Well, how come God didn't tell Abraham when he was 75, it will be 25 years, 3 days, and 6 hours? He could have. Yes, he could have. Because that's not how God did it. That's why. Because Abraham needed a trial of faith. Abraham needed to keep seeing his own body and his wife's body aging and keep seeing a barren womb and keep wondering and asking questions. But Abraham kept on in the faith too. Sure, there was a moment of wavering when Sarah got involved and said maybe he meant through my handmaid, and then he slept with Hagar and they had Ishmael. That was not supposed to happen. But other than that, the man stood strong. And he trusted God. And that's why he was called a man of faith. And his faith was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8. Luke 8. And let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, could be healed of any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs you and presses you." And someone says, "Who touched me?" Because she touched him differently. She touched him in faith. And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." You ever wonder why the people that were other people touching him, no virtue went out into them? This woman came to him in faith, and that's how you have to approach, and I have to approach God. But what I don't want you to get lost in this is it was 12 years in that state, and this was an Israelite. This was one of God's people. She knew about prayer. She knew about physicians, too, apparently. And God had, so 12 years ago, from the point she was healed here, 12 years prior, God knew in 12 years, Jesus Christ is going to be walking the earth, and this lady will be healed through touching him. She had no idea, the beginning of that 12 years, that the Messiah would be the one that heals her. That's glorious to me. Think about that. She, 12 years prior, saying, Lord, I've got an issue of blood. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Let me go to physicians. No one can heal me. 12 years. No clue 12 years ago that she would get healed, and it would be because she actually was alive to touch the garment of the Messiah walking on the earth. That's glorious. You don't think she wasn't happy when this happened? She got healed, and she was with the Messiah. That's how God did it. Same thing with the man by the pool of water where the angel would stir it up. He was that time, a long time, he was that way, a long time. And at the appointed time, he got healed. And he didn't have to get in the water with the angel troubling it. It was the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's glorious. So those that of you are waiting on a healing, you don't know how God's going to do that. It may be a glorious healing, or maybe it'll just be you wake up one day and you're healed. Either way, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. But God knows the exact time that you're going to be healed. The day, the hour, the minute, and the second. And he can tell you that right now if you wanted to. Things happen in the appointed time. And that's what we have to keep in mind. And it may not always be in our time. In fact, probably most of the time it's not. But it will happen if we stand in faith and continue to trust God. I want us to turn to Hebrews 11:33. This woman, God has promised to be our healer. So when you see people getting a healing, that is obtaining a promise. When you see Israel delivered from the Egyptians, that's obtaining a promise that I will deliver you. When you see Isaac born, that is obtaining a promise that you will have a son. Hebrews 11:33. And it takes faith for that. I want you to look at this. Who through faith, what did these men and women of God do through faith? Who through faith, I'm in Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, through faith wrought or worked righteousness, and through faith obtained promises. You want to obtain your promise? God made a promise to you. You want to obtain it? It's through faith. It's through waiting in faith. Not, oh, woe is me. Not, how come they don't have to go through it? And you don't, and I do. And what's going on with this one? And how come that brother gets to this? I mean, we don't have time for that. Has God made a promise to you? Yes or no? Yes. Then you're going to obtain it through faith. And it'll happen when God said it's going to happen. Not a second too soon and not a second too late. Because God knows the best time. God makes everything beautiful in his time. And they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They did all that through faith, but the thing we're keying on is they obtained promises. See, and a promise can or cannot be obtained. God can promise you something, but as always, there's stipulations. If you're not walking in faith, you're not going to receive that promise. God's promised us eternal life. If I don't walk in faith after I'm born again, I'm not going to get it. God has promised you perhaps a healing, but if you're not walking in faith, you're not going to get it. You have to obtain a promise. A promise is real, and it's true, and it's yea and amen, but you may or may not get it. If you don't get it, it's your fault, not God's. It's my fault, not God's. A promise is something that's there for the taking. And you take it, you obtain it through faith. If I'm murmuring and saying, why me, and how come this happens to them and not me and you and the, you're not going to get it. You are never going to get it. You're not in the right. You have to be in a position to obtain a promise from God. Do you understand that? We have to be in a position to obtain a promise from God. That woman, she obtained her promise through touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Had she not felt like going that day, she wasn't in position. She would, if she stayed home, let's think about it. If she stayed home and didn't go that day, I'm talking about the woman we read about that had the issue of blood 12 years. If she stayed home that day, she would not have obtained that promise. She was not in a position to get it in her house. In her case, because she touched the garment, she had to go find him. They won, the Red Sea parted. God delivered them out of Egypt. They had to be in position for that to happen. So if you want to obtain your promise, you have to be in a position to obtain it, and that position is walking in faith. That's how you obtain the promises of God. Being in position to do so. Define being in position. Waiting with patience and faith for that promise. Doing everything we can do on our own and trusting God for the rest. That's how you obtain a promise. God does have a set time and a place for things, but we have to be in a position to receive it when it happens. Let's go to Psalm 62. Psalms 62. And let's go ahead and pick it up right in verse 5. So I'm in Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. This is someone. If you do that, you'll obtain the promises of God. To obtain the promises of God, we can't be moved. We have to wait on him, and to do all of that, it takes faith. Verse 8, same thing. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. It takes faith. Through faith, you obtain the promises of God. Stay in Psalms and go to 27. Stay in Psalms and go to 27. Verse 14. In fact, let's back up verse 13. So I'm in Psalms 27, 13. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait on the Lord. You want your heart strengthened? Wait on God. Do it with patience. Do it in faith. And trust him. God has exact moment in time when your healing is going to come, when your blessing is going to come, when that job is going to be released to you, when you find your spouse, whatever it is you're expecting from God, whatever it is you ask God for, God has set days and times. All you have to do is stand in faith and wait. Work righteousness, be obedient, labor, and at the right time you'll get it. And it'll be the best time. Let's go to 1 Peter 4 as we start to wrap this up. Not a real long message tonight. 1 Peter 4. Verse 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it's strange. It's not. It's normal. It's common. It's expected. It's part of the deal. Those people that labored all day, they agreed in the morning hour to labor all, they agreed to labor for the day for one penny. That's part of the deal. The people that worked at the last hour and only worked 1 hour for a penny, it's part of the deal. They all got what they agreed to. If you're born again Christian, you're agreeing to trials. You're agreeing to suffer temptations, trials, and persecutions and hardships. You are. You're agreeing to have your faith tempted and tried and tested. He says, beloved, verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's what the Word of God says. If you're waiting on God for a healing, you're waiting on God for a job, you're waiting on God for a financial breakthrough, whatever that is, a child, maybe you're barren. Take your petitions to the Lord, cry out to him, but at the end of the day, you're going to wait in faith until God answers. And it may be this second, and we've seen that in this fellowship. I've seen things happen literally in a second. In the twinkling of an eye of a prayer, I've seen things happen. I've in my own body even. And some brethren are going on 6, 7, 8 years with the same condition. Got to wait on God. It's just part of the deal. It's not our job to ask or get mad and wonder why. And, you know, hey, you check yourself. Make sure you're not iniquity is not in your heart. If you don't have iniquity and you're not, you know, blatantly walking in sin and you have a clean hands, then and the miracle hasn't happened for you, that's all. There's nothing else to do but wait. Trust God and wait. Don't let Satan get you to the point where you're mad at God. I've been there. Or looking around saying, these saints don't know what I'm going through. Yes, yes, they do. Because everyone's had trials of differing degrees. Christ was tempted in all points, yet without sin. God knows what you're going through. If anybody, God knows what you're going through. That's fine. God knows what I'm going through or what I've gone through. God knows what kind of person you're going to be 10 years from now. So what we're wanting today may not help us 10 years from now. So we won't get it. But it's still for our good. You see that? Everything works for the good for those who are called and that love and follow God. I want to say that, what I just said again. Everything works for the good. We're familiar with that passage of a born-again believer. God knows what type of man or woman you're going to be in 5 years from now. And if answering something you want today is going to be harmful to you 5 years from now because of the kind of person you become, God's not going to give it. It's for your good. Now, all you can see right now is, I asked for it and didn't get it. What's going on? And maybe you don't know that if God gave that to you, and because of the, how life turns out for you and how you are in 5 years, it would be detrimental. So God knows that. He sees 5 years from today. So he may not give that thing to you because he knows what it'll do to you 5 years from now. That's all things working for good. It doesn't say every prayer is answered exactly how you want it. It means God knows what's best for you. So in that case, God would have helped you by not granting you whatever it is you're asking for. So we have to continue to trust God, brethren. We have to continue on the narrow path. Wait on God. Understand that persecutions and trials of faith are just part of the agreement we made with God when we got washed in the blood. You know, the saying is, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to get saved. And it's true, monetarily speaking. But the reality is, it costs you everything. So it's free in terms of money. It's not free in terms of anything else. In fact, as far as just about everything else is concerned, it'll cost you everything. The only thing it won't cost you is money. That's the one thing you can't buy, or one of the few things you can't buy. Salvation is one of them. But it will cost you everything. And that's just part of the agreement. If you're born again, you made that agreement with God. You said, yes, Lord, that's fine. I want to be born again. I want to make it to heaven. And God promised that if you're faithful, you'll make it to heaven. And God cannot lie. So praise the Lord. That's the message for tonight. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God. And tonight was a message to increase our faith, help our faith, help us understand that God's time is the best, and we just have to wait on that. We just have to trust that. And that makes it a little easier. Makes it a little easier passing the time while we wait for our miracle, our healing, our job, our career move, our financial breakthrough, a marriage partner, whatever it is that you're asking God for. Continue to ask, continue to believe. And also know it'll happen in God's time. So praise the Lord. That's the message for tonight, saints. You can, if you have any, you know, you can go to our website, www.gatheringofthesaints.com. And there's all sorts of free resources there. You can, if you want to get a hold of us, go to the website again, www.gatheringofthesaints.com. And you can email us on that site and we'll pray with you. We do believe in the power of prayer and power of the spoken word. If you want prayer, we'll call you. We'll ask that you get some anointing oil and anoint yourself while we pray over you over the phone. I don't have to be in the room with you for that. Jesus, there's several accounts of that in the New Testament. We do not have to be in the same room for healing to happen. And
We'll pray with you if you need that or whatever else you need. Just again, www.gatheringofthesaints.com. You can also continue to hear us on our Blog Talk, Gathering of the Saints Fellowship on Blog Talk. Brother Brad brings a Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard American Time, ministration with prayer. Brother Jim, I'm Brother Jim, and we generally are able to get together for Bible study and preaching on Thursday night, 7 o'clock American Central Standard Time. So by God's grace, we'll continue to do this as God allows, and we'll go from there. So I trust you have a blessed week, and until next time, Maranatha.
The Lord.